All right, it is Labor Day baseball. The Giants in Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. Logan Webb for the Giants. Andrew Haney for the Dodgers tonight. The Dodgers have beaten the Giants eight straight. Well, a pleasure to bring in Mike Ferrin. I love listening to him and his show. It's Power Alley on MLB Radio, and I hear it 7 to 10 on the West Coast Monday through Friday. Guy knows the game of baseball. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Marty. It's great to be with you. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you. And I know we always talk about Labor Day, but it has a real significant meaning, which I just want to say first, that it came about really because the labor unions were pushed around and so many things happened. So they appeased the labor unions by saying, we're going to give you a day, Labor Day. And that's what it's all about. We really do celebrate labor because, look, even in baseball, it's such a big deal. Owners of companies want to limit their costs, and usually the labor is the big part. So it's an important holiday.
Yeah, and notice, too, that for the most part, it's union workers that are working on Labor Day in baseball. So that's the irony of it, right? It's like, we can't it drives me nuts that there are teams that are off on Labor Day because it's a holiday, but at the same time, you know, maybe all the baseball players should be off on it to celebrate their union. At any rate, it's also, you know, like as important as it is, and the history of it, I think, gets lost a lot. It is also a traditional signpost in the major league season and the last one we have before the playoffs start.
Boy, it sure is. Mike Ferrin with us. You can hear him on Power Alley, of course, with Jim Duquette. A very, very good show. And boy, you get caught up with baseball. When I turn you guys on in the morning, I say, I don't have to read anything. I'm just going to listen to you, and I know exactly what happened.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully I'm as accurate as newspapers are in covering it. So we try to be. But we don't get everything right, but we try our best.
No, it's fun. It's fun in the morning to listen. All right. The National League West. Let's think back to spring training, the beginning of the season, what you thought was going to happen in the West and what is happening in the West. Did you see this coming to this extent?
I mean, I think the names are in the right order from where I thought. I'm not sure that I necessarily saw it playing out entirely this way. You know, I thought the Dodgers were pretty good. You know, I thought that was they were going to have a good chance of not just, you know, reclaiming the division, but, you know, winning it by a wide margin, and they're certainly going to do that. I thought San Diego's pitching was in way better shape than it was a year ago, and I thought that with the addition of, you know, just the addition of a healthy Clevinger more than anything was going to make a big difference for them, and their pitching has been really good. Their offense, you know, has not been as good as the names are, and obviously the Tatis injury and subsequent suspension you know, have impacted them and you know, continue to impact them as they get down the stretch. And they're, what, three games up, I think, on Milwaukee for wild card spot number two. And then, you know, beyond that, I thought the Giants were probably closer to 500 than what their record was last year. They're a few games below where I thought they would be. The Diamondbacks are probably a few games ahead of where I thought they would be. And Colorado's right about where they where I thought they would end up. I think more than anything, the biggest surprise has probably come in the three and four spot and, you know, how they've gotten to have records that are so similar.
Well, boy, you know, earlier in the year, I looked at the last 2 weeks of the schedule. And I said, well, it's Colorado and Arizona. If the Giants can just stay close over those last couple of weeks, they can do a lot. But the Diamondbacks have, to me, when you look at the division, of course, the Dodgers running away with it. But maybe the best story in the division is what's happened with Arizona this year.
Well, they've gotten terrific starting pitching from Zach Gallen, who's on a run of, 41 and a third now, consecutive scoreless innings. Merrill Kelly, who, you know, actually pitches well against teams other than the Giants. I know he's kind of a giant.
He kills him.
Yeah. He's just been a total pro. And then, you know, like Zach Davies has thrown the ball fairly well for them. They have a really young group of outfielders that are pretty exciting. I think the guy who is probably the least heralded as a prospect, Jake McCarthy, is having the best season out of the quartet that they have. And he really has proven that he can hit both righties and lefties. He's made adjustments. He's one of those guys that every time you saw him come back from the minors, you saw improvements in his approach and in his decision-making. And I think he's been a real plus for them. They've just brought up their best prospect and Corbin Carroll, who, you know, has a chance to be kind of like a Jacoby Ellsbury-type center fielder. Not the MVP season necessarily, but play really good defense, runs really well, going to hit a lot of doubles and triples in that ballpark. And then add that to the other two young outfielders they have in Dalton Varsho and Alec Thomas, who plays a terrific center field. And they have a pretty exciting quartet there. They're lacking impact, you know, and I think that's something that they are going to need to focus on. They probably are going to be looking for maybe a little bit more pitching depth too. You know, Tommy Henry is throwing the ball fairly well for them. Ryan Nelson, who was a former second rounder, is going to make his big league debut today against San Diego. And they have another young pitching prospect in Brandon Pfaadt, who is probably the best of the trio that are either going to make their big league debuts this season or early next. And he's a pretty good strike thrower. He misses some bats in AAA and has a chance to kind of work towards the middle of a rotation. So they have some nice pieces in place. They have some depth in their farm system. Obviously, Andrew Jones' son was their first-round pick this year. They're very excited about him. I know Jordan Waller was their first-rounder last year. He's already in AA, coming out of high school last year. So they have a fairly bright future, though they're going to need to augment it externally.
Well, that's where the Giants want to be, but they haven't gone that route. They've taken older players, and their minor leagues are not ready to jump the way the Diamondbacks are. And I think it's a good example to Giant fans to what could happen maybe in 2024 when these players that they have in the minor leagues may be ready to jump up. I want to get your opinion.
I would say 2023 is possible because, you know, last year, you know, that was the last year I worked with the Diamondbacks, and one of the concerns internally was they had a season in the minors that was pretty similar to what the Giants' season has been in the minors. You know, the Giants had a pretty well-regarded farm system. It doesn't seem like anybody has been able to get on track, maybe except for Kyle Harrison. And to a lesser extent, Luciano, I know he missed a lot of time with injury, but I think that there's always that chance that, you know, there's nothing about player development that is linear, right? So I would hold out hope still that you could see some of the returns from that start to crack the big league roster in 2023.
Well, you hope so. It's going to be an interesting winter to evaluate the ball club and see who comes back and who doesn't, and what minor leaguers could do just what Mike says, and that is jump in 2023. Let's talk about Carlos Rodon for a second. You know, what made the Giants special, really, was Kevin Gausman, who had a big win today for Toronto. They're on their way to sweeping the Orioles in a traditional doubleheader. But last year, Gausman and Webb and really carried the Giants quite a bit. And this year, it's been Rodon and Webb. And Rodon can opt out, and everyone knows he will opt out. But I'm of the opinion the Giants should spend the money and try to keep him. Because what makes the Giants special, really, is their starting pitching. And I wouldn't want to see him get away. You think there's any hope that he would stay? Or do you think he's absolute Boris, whatever, go in the market?
Well, I mean, I think it's not like the Giants haven't signed Boris clients in the past and signed them to long-term deals, you know. I mean,
Barry Zito.
I think, you know, Scott gets a reputation of, well, he's a Boris client, so he's not going to re-sign here, wherever it is. I mean, he's positioned his client to be able to take the best deal possible. And, you know, there were some concerns about Rodon after last year. You know, he missed some time in the middle of the year, which both the White Sox and Rodon's camp were quick to say weren't about an injury, but about the fact that he'd thrown something like 30 innings over the three previous seasons. He's been healthy this year. He's thrown the ball extremely well. He just passed Corbin Burns last night, right, for the National League in strikeouts. So I think it's if the Giants want to be the high bidder on Rodon, I think that certainly makes sense. I would look at it a little different, and I think one of the issues that the Giants have and the reason why they've had to play the platoon games the way they have the last 2 years is because they have lacked impact on the offensive side. And, you know, Marty, we were talking about this in the ballpark the other day when I saw you. Look, the loss of Posey was pretty significant. It felt like it was going to be at the time. But with the injuries that they've suffered to the more veteran players and the fact that not every platoon advantage has worked out exactly the way it was supposed to, like it did last year, they really need to upgrade that group in my mind. And the other part of it is, and this is, you know, this isn't like a necessarily an overriding thought with progressive front offices or forward-thinking front offices, but I do think it tends to be the case. When they're spending in free agency, the spend tends to be on position players because there's a better chance you're going to get the return on the investment. Now, Rodon might be the exception to that, right? If you're convinced that he is 100% healthy going forward and there's nothing to believe that Rodon isn't, then maybe you would make that change there and invest in him. But I think that they need help in their outfield. They need more consistent offensive production in their infield. And I think there are ways that they could do that externally and find themselves back in the mix for a playoff spot a year from now that might have more impact than putting all of your eggs in the basket of one frontline starter.
Well, yeah, you need a lot, and it's well put. But for me, I don't see impact outfielders out there in the free agent market other than the big boy, who hit number 54 today and just crushed it up into the second deck at Yankee Stadium, and they beat the Twins. What else is new? But all right, my thought. I just came to this conclusion this weekend. I said, you know something, they better go after Rodon. And I'd put the money there because that starting pitching to go into a series with Rodon and Logan Webb means something, and they need the anchor. All right, so that's a thought for you guys. We'll talk about it all winter. We'll see what happens there. Great races in baseball, though, and let's talk about the National League wild card because, you know, the Giants are on the periphery. I know it would be a dream to think that they could even get back into this. But look at Milwaukee. You know, they're having trouble. San Diego, losing record for a period of time. The Phillies, we just saw them this weekend. They've got all sorts of difficulty. Two spots are open, and those three teams don't seem to want to grab it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit surprising. I really was high on this Milwaukee team coming into the season. I thought they were the class of that division. The Cardinals have had a big impact on that now, right? And actually, the Cardinals are losing at home to Washington right now. But apparently the Nationals are going to be first-place teams that particular series.
They just beat Scherzer.
Yeah. And, you know, I took two out of three there and tightened up that race considerably. But I think, you know, I think all three of those teams have flaws to them, right? Milwaukee does not have a consistent offense. Their bullpen is not quite as good as what their reputation has been. The Phillies have some injuries that have impacted their rotation. You know, they don't really have a timetable on when Zach Wheeler's coming back. He's obviously their most important arm. And then beyond that, they are still not a very good defensive team, even though they have made improvements over the course of the season. And I think the defense really reared its ugly head in that Arizona series, and then again this weekend against the Giants. So that's a concern with them as well. And San Diego, for the most part, it's offense, right? Like that offense hit was a little bit better than I expected in the month of August, or at least statistically was, compared to what the perception was. But they're still, to your point, 14-15 since the trade deadline. And while Soto is getting on base at a sensational clip, he is not hitting for power, which is something that they desperately need with no Tatis. So it's three flawed teams. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's whoever gets hot at the end is going to win. I do think Philadelphia has enough of a cushion over Milwaukee that they will need something catastrophic to happen, and their next nine games are against Miami and Washington, which should help the Phillies out. But you know, if one of those teams can play more consistent over the course of the month of September, they'll find themselves in a pretty good position and probably in that second wild card spot. The downside to that is you're going to have to face the team that doesn't win the East, and I think those are the two of the three best teams in the National League.
Boy, Matt Gelb pointed out to us from The Athletic that the Phillies do have the tiebreaker over Milwaukee and San Diego, so that's an extra game for them this year. That's the way it's going to be broken if they do tie. Boy, you talk about Atlanta and the Mets, and, you know, Buck Showalter, great job, probably manager of the year in the National League. Scherzer says he's okay. DeGrom seems to be okay, but they're not hitting a lot right now. They've slowed down a lot. And really, the Braves just never slow down, and it looks like they're getting better.
Yeah, I think the one concern with the Mets has been that they, outside of Pete Alonso, really lack power. And, you know, Francisco Lindor has had a really great year for them. It's slowed a little bit here of late, but they really are not a lineup that is going to knock the ball out of the ballpark. They are, I don't want to call them the station team, but they remind me a little bit of those Giants teams in 10, 12, and 14 in the way that they approach at bats and move the ball around. And the problem is that they just don't really, outside of Alonso, have that guy that can hit the three-run homer. And Alonso has been slowed a little bit here over the last month as teams have really tried to expose some of the holes that he has in above his hands. So that's one of the concerns, I think, with the Mets. And to your point with the Braves, they haven't slowed down. I think since Like the start of June, they've been the best team in the league. I was looking today because I was looking at something on Seattle, but since Seattle hit its low watermark, only the Braves and Dodgers have as many or more wins than Seattle. And I think that speaks to how long this has been going on with the Braves. Their starters, specifically with Fried and Wright anchoring that rotation, have been very good. It is an excellent offense. The one knock against them is that they might strike out a little bit too much against high-octane pitching. But I'm really, really looking for little things that are problems with both them and the Mets. They're strong teams. They're two of the best in the league. And I really think that those two, the Dodgers, the Astros, and maybe to a lesser extent now the Yankees, are the teams that, you know, if you were to look at those five combined, there's probably a 70-75% chance that one of them wins the World Series. Atlanta's been overlooked because the Mets got off to a fast start, which is crazy to think because they're the defending World Series champion, but it would not surprise me if they ended up as the champions in the East in the second seed in the National League.
Well, Mike Farron joins us, as I say, MLB Radio. You can hear him on Power Alley Monday through Friday, 7 to 10. We hear him on the West Coast. This third wild card has been exciting. You know, it really has been exciting. Look at the race, my God, in the American League for the wild card, and we just talked about the National League. It's really, I think it's added a lot to the game.
Yeah, I think we would be having a similar race for the final wild card spot. In fact, there might be a little bit more of a sense of urgency for maybe one or two more teams in the mix if there was only two wild cards instead of three. But I do think in with giving the hope to, you know, to fan bases that their teams are going to be able to make the playoffs or that you're going to get a chance to go through that best of three round, which I really like better, I think that's a positive. And I think that this year could be unique in the sense that we only have, you know, really, what, seven teams in the National League fighting for six spots and seven teams in the American League now with the American League Central. Listen, there's three teams within two games of the American League Central, but the leaders are on pace to win 83 games. So it's not like it's a great division. It kind of looks like the kind of years where the Cardinals win the World Series, right? Like, that's probably what will happen is the AL Central team will win.
What happened to Cleveland?
Well, I mean, their offense hasn't been great. Again, not much power, right? They're a high-contact offense that doesn't walk, and so they don't create a lot of opportunities. And then they lost two-fifths of their rotation going into the series this past weekend against Seattle. Aaron Civale has elbow inflammation, and I know his numbers haven't been great this year, but he's been, you know, pretty capable starter over his career. And Zach Plesac broke his hand punching the mound after giving up a home run in Seattle on the last road trip. And so that's a big issue for Cleveland, who I really liked because of their pitching. And now you've taken away two-fifths of that rotation, and there's some flaws there on the offense. And, you know, Minnesota is just kind of a pretty good team. And the White Sox are the most talented group, but they have not been able to get on track, and yet they find themselves just two games back. So it's a real mess of a division, but it certainly should lead to an exciting month. And the fact that I think it's just dangerous for them that the White Sox are still in the mix, right? I mean, this is the team that I had World Series expectations before the year, and they're at 500 right now. They have played a little bit better over the course of the last week. They got Moncada back today. They got Aaron Bummer, who's a key bullpen arm, back today. Luis Roberts back in the lineup today. There are some things that are going right for them that if it clicks, and that's a big if because it hasn't clicked over the first 5 months, but if it does, they could be very, very scary for those other AL Central teams down the stretch.
Boy, you know, it's interesting. We'll wrap it up with this. Just thinking back to the winter and how hopeless the winter felt, and even going into spring training and the delay. And actually, we got a really good season with a lot of good moments and great races going down to the end, at least wild cards or some divisions. And then we get the guy who hit his 54th today. How about that?
Yeah, and you've got a guy who's got a 40-inning scoreless streak, and you've got another Inner Circle Hall of Famer who's got a legitimate chance to get to 700, you know, in Pujols. I mean, there are some really compelling storylines, I think, as we get down the stretch. And I'm excited for that new wild card round. I really am. I enjoyed being at those one-game playoffs because they were so exciting, and it was like opening with a Game 7, and the environment in those games was great. But when you play 162 games, and you've got like the Dodger Cardinal wildcard game last year, they were separated in the standings by what, like a dozen games, right? that's not fair to reduce the baseball season when you play every day for 6 months to one game like that. Mm-hmm. I think this is a much more fair way of doing it. And for that, I'm excited, even though I'm not thrilled that we're seeing 40% of the league make the postseason every year.
All right. I'm with you. I'm with you on this. And plus, in three games, if you got a couple of good starting pitchers, it now becomes competitive, even if you lose that first game. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the season has turned out extremely well compared to where we were in February and March. I do.
Yep.
Hey, Michael, always a pleasure. Really, always a pleasure having you on. And we'll do this again before the end of the season to see if things tighten up.
The pleasure is all mine, Marty. Enjoy tonight.
All right, that is Mike Farron of MLB Radio. Wow, good discussion on baseball. That's what we're going to do today. We've got a lot to talk about. Bill is up next with Laura Britt. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.